I think I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because it makes a point that I like. There was a mom who asked a little girl what she was drawing. "I'm making a picture of God," she said. "Honey, no one knows what God looks like." "They will when I'm finished," said the little girl. "What's your image of God?" This little girl had her image, and she knew everybody to know what God looked like when she was finished. "What's your image of God?" "Maybe not so much what he looks like, but what is he like? What's his character like?" The Bible gives us many images of God. There's the image of Lord, of King, Savior, Shepherd, Bread of Life, Living Water. There's many more. Jesus teaches us to address God as Father. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit enables us to say, "Abba, Daddy." God uses these images because when these images or relationships are at their best, they reflect something of God's character and who He is. So that's why God gives us these images. We can understand through them who God is. Genesis tells us that we are created in God's image, male and female. All that is good in our image of men and of women, all that is good in what we see in fatherhood and motherhood is in the image of God, because we're created, male and female, in the image of God. So this morning, since today is Mother's Day, I'd like to take a look at a couple of the places in Scripture where God chooses to reveal something about Himself using motherly images. Throughout Scripture, God is referred to as Father and with male pronouns. God alone knows fully why He's used the Father image to reveal Himself. But He also encompasses attributes that we often think of as motherly attributes. So this morning I want to look at those, some of those ways that God reveals Himself. In motherhood, when we see motherhood at its best, God is helping us to know, here's something about my love. A mother is a reflection of God's love. Her love is a reflection of God's love and God's character. It's kind of amazing to me how whenever God describes the nature of His relationship with His people, He always speaks of it by comparing it to the most intense relationships that we have with one another. Have you ever seen in the Bible that God talks about His relationship with us as a business partnership or as a casual acquaintance? Not there. God always is our Father, and actually talks with the church of God being our husband, our friend who is closer than the brother, who lays down His life for us. The most intense relationships are the ones that God uses. So let's look at a couple of these. The first one is in Luke. And this morning's message is God our Father, motherly attributes included. So that's all a part of a picture of who God is and how He relates to us and His love for us. In Luke 13:34, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to the cross. And as He gets up on the Mount of Olives, as He enters into Jerusalem, you've heard this scripture many times, Jesus laments over Jerusalem out of His love for His people. And this is what He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus likens Himself here to a mother hen, to a mother chicken, gathering her chicks under her wings. Now, I haven't really spent enough time in the barnyard, so I haven't actually seen this in person. Mostly I've seen it in cartoons on videos or television or that sort of thing. But some of you have chickens. Maybe you've seen it. Okay. When there's danger around, the mother hen gathers her chicks, calls her chicks, and evidently the chicks know to go to mama and get under her wings, to be protected, to be taken care of. Maybe sometimes they need warmth. I don't know if they do that. But also, if there's a predator that's approaching, the hen would keep the chicks under her wing. I don't know how ferocious a chicken can be, a hen. But I'm sure she'd be as ferocious as she can be to protect those chicks if there's a predator around. So in this verse, Jesus says that the chicks, God's children, he says, you would not gather under my wings. I've longed to bring you in to protect you, but you wouldn't come. You know, there's a saying sometimes people say, does the chicken have lips? It's kind of supposed to mean, you know, this isn't true. Well, you might ask here, does a chicken have hands? Chicken doesn't have hands. The chicks must gather to the hen. The chicken doesn't have hands to reach out and grab them and pull them in. She has the wings. They must gather to her. They decide to run away. They're on their own. So Jesus calls us. That's what he's saying to the people in Jerusalem here. He says he longs for them to come to him so that he can protect them like a hen protects the chicks under her wings. That's the way mothers are, not just animal mothers, but human mothers. They want to protect their children. Sometimes fathers get frustrated because they think mom's too overprotective. Wants to protect too much. And that's possible. Earthly mothers are imperfect, just as fathers are imperfect as well. Fathers can be too harsh with their children. But God's protective instinct is perfect. So while we are not perfect, God is. And God's protective instinct is perfect. He knows exactly when to protect. He knows when to let us experience hardship. But as the verse says, how often I've longed to gather you under my wings, but you were not willing. Jesus wants us to come to him. Sometimes we don't do that. Maybe we don't sense the danger. Or maybe we're just not willing to come to him. Perhaps we're like the disciples. A little bit later in the scripture here, Jesus spoke to the disciples in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he invited them to pray. He said, come, pray with me. There's danger here. They didn't come. They slept. They didn't pray. Sometimes that's the way we are. My question this morning is, what protective images do you carry from your mother or your grandmother or your aunt? Mama fights for her children. Or perhaps you have an image of your mother praying for you. What are those images? That's what Jesus is calling up here, that protective image. Mothers can give a glimpse of what God himself is like. C.S. Lewis, when he was thinking about actually husbands as the head of a family, he tried to understand why is this, and as he reflected on it, he actually talked about mothers a little bit. Here's what he said in his thoughts and in his writing. He says, I speak quite frankly as a bachelor. So he wasn't married at this time, C.S. Lewis. He says, because you can see from the outside even better than from the inside. So as a bachelor, he looks into a family. He says, the relations of the family to the outer world, what we may call its foreign policy, must depend in the last resort upon the man, because he always ought to be and usually is much more just to outsiders. A woman is primarily fighting for her own children and husband against the rest of the world. Naturally, almost in a sense, rightly, their claims override for her all other claims. So he's saying, as I've observed mothers, they're always fighting for their husbands and for their children. And there's nothing else more important to them from the outside world. He says the function of the husband is to see that this natural preference of hers is not given its head. He has the last word in order to protect other people from the intense family patriotism of the wife. Now, I don't know if that's true in your family or not. But C.S. Lewis was observing some of that. He said, if anyone's in doubt, let me ask you a simple question. If your dog has bitten the child next door, which would you sooner have to deal with? The master of the house or the mistress of the house? So as C.S. Lewis was making this observation, he's simply saying, you know, I'd rather, if the child is hurt, I'd rather deal with the husband than the mother, because she is so protective. Mothers are very protective, and so is God. That's one of the attributes of God that we learn. God is protective of his children, fiercely protective. He wants to defend us. I mean, think, we sinned, but God defends us anyway. He'll always look after us. We're precious in his eyes. When we come to Jesus, he'll give us the protection that he longs to give. It'll be the right amount of protection. He's protective, but not overly protective. His desire, like ours for our children, is that his children will grow and mature into his own likeness. And so God is protective in that way. William Cushing wrote a hymn in which he says, under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He's redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. God, like a mother, is protective of his children. Isaiah also gives us several images, so I'd like to look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 13. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. God is talking here as Isaiah prophesies about Jerusalem. He's speaking about to those who had remained faithful in Israel, and so he's speaking to them about that. And so this first part here is talking about Jerusalem, how they'd be cared for like a mother cares for a child in Jerusalem. But then he goes on to say, he says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And so God comforts like a mother does. God speaks through Isaiah to those who have remained faithful in Israel, who have suffered at the hand of those who did not honor God. Perhaps they had even seen such people prosper, those who had not honored God. And they mourned the state of Jerusalem, God's holy city, which did not in any way reflect the rule of God at this time. And I want to read just a couple more verses up above here. Starting in verse 10, he says, Rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm, dandled on her knees, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. So like a mother comforts, God comforts us as well. God uses the image of a mother here to describe himself. God wants us to carry that image with us. There's times when we need comforting. What's your image of a mother's comfort that helps you know God's comfort for you? Can you think of times when maybe your mother comforted you or someone has comforted you? God combines in himself all the virtues of perfect character. He's not only strong and protective, He's also tender and comforting. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 as he talks about God? He says, the God of all comfort. Well, how does God comfort us? How exactly does he do that? Here God speaks as he speaks to these exiles about Jerusalem, as he speaks to them. He speaks about something that's not yet accomplished, something that he will do for the people that he's speaking to, the exiles. He wants them to know the time is coming. He wants the image of what is coming to begin stirring in them and strengthening them now. So maybe you have an image of coming home from school. What was it like when you came home from school? When you were a kid, maybe being greeted by your mother, getting a snack, being comforted just by the sense of being home. Knowing that comfort would be there when you arrived home may have encouraged you throughout the day. It may have been strengthening to you to know that at the end of the day, I'm coming home. Mom's there, maybe there'll be a snack, I'll just be at home. Knowing that can encourage us. That would be part of the image here. As God says that he comforts his people, he's telling them, this is what's going to happen. Jerusalem is going to be restored. You will be blessed as my people. There was a mother who had 12 children, and she was asked which one she loved the best. Does a mother have enough love for 12 children? I believe so. Which one does she love best? Her answer, the one who's sick until he gets well. The one who's away until he gets home. It's the image of motherly love and comfort. That's the way God loves us. When we need that comfort, that's the way God loves us. The final image I want to use this morning comes from Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Again, Isaiah prophesies about God not forgetting his people. He speaks of Jerusalem, of Zion, but he's speaking of his people. Do you think I can forget you? There's no way. Do you know of a mother who forgets her children? The children that she's born, the children that she has nursed? A mother doesn't forget. A mother has unending compassion. God has unending compassion, like a mother. The experience of mothering a child is such that mothers don't neglect to nurture and to nourish their children, and they certainly don't forget their experience with them. So this verse was given to Israel again during their Babylonian captivity, when they cried out thinking that God must certainly have forgotten them. It's a reminder of God's unending compassion, like that of a mother who cannot forget her child. Of course, for you, the power of this metaphor depends on a positive image of motherhood. Maybe you're a person who has a less than positive image of motherhood. Maybe you're reflecting on your own experience as a mother or your experience as a child. Maybe you even feel guilty about some failures. Or you feel the pain of a mom who didn't care for you quite the way that she should have. All of us know that mothers can be irresponsible too. They may not care as they should at all times. So can this image retain its power for you? The good news about this passage is that when we feel forgotten and forsaken, which is the way the people were feeling in Babylon, we find comfort not from a flawed mother, but from a God who will not fail to care for us, who will not fail to remember us, even when the whole world seems turned upside down to us. Even if the best human mother runs out of maternal compassion, God will not. God says, even if a mother would forget her child, I will not forget you. So God fiercely protects us like a mother. He comforts us like a mother comforts her child. And he has unending compassion for you, just as a mother does. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 days. 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient with us. He works with us. And sometimes it seems like God's not coming through very fast. But God's time frame is not like our time frame. But what we can trust is God's care, his love, his protection, his comfort, his compassion for us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the women in our lives. Thank you for our moms who have cared for us, who've often protected us. Lord, I thank you that their compassion does not end. They do not forget us. And Lord, I thank you that your love is like that, that your protection for us is like that. Father, I ask this morning that you would enable each one of us to know your love in that way, to be able to trust you. Father, I ask your blessing on each of the mothers here today. Lord, we honor them for their love and for their care. Father, we ask for healing for the places where they are pained. Lord, it is because of their hearts of love that they often experience hurt. They're willing to experience that hurt out of their love for their children. And so I ask for healing, Lord, for those who are waiting for children to gather, just as Jesus said, I long for you to gather under my wings. Lord, some moms are waiting for their children to come to you. Father, we pray for those children and ask that they would open their hearts, that they would turn to you. Father, we ask for the healing of relationships. And most of all, Lord, I ask that you would increase our trust in you, that we would be able to trust you even when it doesn't seem like everything is going right. And we can trust you because your compassion for us never ends. In Jesus' name.